Yes, I'm going to. All right. This is Ceremony on Monday, October 8th, 2018. I've been talking to Angela so far in Ameho. What's coming through is that I could give a whole reading on the dark side. I could give a whole reading on the nightmare of what's going on energetically. That's also been reflected in the energies that I've been conducting. Okay, I'm only going to spend a certain percentage of time on the negative stuff, but I need to go there. Just to give a glimpse of what is actually happening and what we're all conducting through our bodies, through the waves of the technology, through the 3G and the LTE and whatever it is, it's all coming through that. We're wondering, maybe they're beaming out something. Well, it's through the Wi-Fi, okay, that's taken over the planet like a grid. And so all this stuff is, they're putting the control mechanisms in through these Wi-Fis and things like that. So our emotions are Wi-Fi receptors, you know, they're towers for Wi-Fi. Let's just put it that way. Okay. I think that's pretty cool, actually, for us to realize that our towers are receptors for Wi-Fi. Now they're going to move to 5G. They're ratcheting it up. And so we've got these vibrations going through us all the time. And it can be too much for some people. So people are really, really bouncing off the walls right now. And then on top of it, they're adding this circus of reality TV called the media, which they've already gotten most people confused as to what's reality and what's not reality through reality TV, which was a deliberate sequencing over the last few years so people could get confused about reality and non-reality. And now we're looking at the media as though it's some kind of reality. And so what they were showing me earlier is that it's important to the reason why people do dream yoga is because they seek to awaken within the dream where it becomes more clear that it is an illusion that you're in. And therefore, your thoughts can have more direction in the dream state and can like manifest things quickly, quickly, quickly. So that's a dimension of reality that we could be in and work with versus this dimension of reality. And the bridging of the two is the dream yoga, where people awaken within the dream. You learn how to awaken within the dream. And then you can take that awakening, you can learn how to awaken within this dream, in this dimension. So it's all about dimensional awakening, where you can actually awaken to the fact that this is an illusion that you can actually I wouldn't want to say manipulate.
All right, Marguerite, you know, just say the word manipulate. You can manipulate this reality if you want to. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here. You can manipulate this reality if you want to. Okay, and that's how a lot of you people have created karma, because you were busy manipulating reality. And then, oh my God, you create a sequence of things that go on. Then you come back into a life and you're saying, oh my God, I'm such a pathetic person. Why did all of this happen to me? When it is the linear sequencing of things that you did before coming down to you in a line. All right. So, you know, Marguerite, okay, she's got we've said this before. She has got, you know, karma piled on top of pastrami with cheese, and, you know, a karma sandwich that you cannot believe. All right. And most of you people do at different levels of karma, but you're all trying to get out of this karmic path and pattern. All right. So what you got here is your karma is converging with all of this stuff going on planet Earth right now. Because you're all here. This is a sport. We're going to see who of us could bust through the illusion of the entire thing, even though we're in three dimensions. Now, that's a very big magical trick. We just want you to tell you all that. All right? So we're trying to talk to you on the level of dimensional awakenings. And so I have been looking at, the fairies and all this, because they're like, it's really important to be on the positive side, because they're really tipping the planet toward the negative fear-based side. And they're really using the deva, the God fear. The God fear is, really enjoying this planet very much. Okay, and it's important to understand God as a fear as a God, okay? Dorothy McLean saw this, that everything has a deva, a governing spirit to it. Everything that has life has a deva. And so, and devas can appear in places that you build. You can have a deva. You can have a deva of your car, right? They can become, they are mechanical ones. And I didn't want to go to the talk on techno fairies and stuff, because I just don't want to deal with that. I don't want to hear that. So, they're basically showing me that each being, each thing that's created that has life to it has a deva. And so fear is a kind of a deva that is really, really gripping the planet right now. So much so that people are creating and governing their realities based on fear. And what the fairies are saying is, we are here to bring joy, to balance that out, and if you will, supersede it. Because there's a whole heck of a lot more joy and fun that needs to happen on this planet right now that you've largely lost. Play, has been lost. And that's what the fairies are all about. They are here to re-enchant, re-inspire, re-enjoy us. And they're saying, look, you need allies who can bring joy back into your world. Now you've got all the other ones, love, wisdom, da-da-da. But we specialize in joy. Okay? Yes, we're connected to love. Yes, we're connected to all that. But this fragrance that we bring your world is that which has gone missing largely. All right? Play, whimsy. So now I've been connecting to my guide, and they told me about another guide there. And what they showed me is, beware who you tell the name of your guide. Because the minute you tell the name of your guide, other people's guides are introduced to your guide, and you can have access. They can have access to your guide. So you want to be careful if you're going to say the names of your beings. Now, some of you, all right, you went for the top. You got Jesus. Everybody knows about him, all right? Everybody can access him if they want to. It's plainly known. But, if you have another name like Boobledy-Boo, all right, let's say that's the name of your guide, you might not want to be broadcasting it on Gaia TV. Because then all these other people are going to get access to it, and you got to decide, do I want them to have access? Don't I want them to have access? All right, and you have a perfect right to do that. You have a perfect right. This is about working with your guides, right? To teaching. This is serious business. You people are underutilizing your guides. Totally. And you could be
connecting with them much, much more to the benefit of yourselves in the long run. So I was given, they told me about Mariel, who's the guy that works with David Spangler and who works with now, you know, Jeremy Berg. I mean, these are some of the men who were the head teachers of this fairy conference in Findhorn. So Mariel and Jeremy Berg told me that Mariel was a she, Mary, the Virgin Mary was a she. And that she brought through Jesus to bridge the worlds. So you know, Mariel, and what they were showing me earlier was very few of us have had the perfect mother. And you can ask great mother, Devic archetype, to be your mother and remother you. You can ask her, and she has manifestations in like the Virgin Mary and different other goddesses, but you can kind of go, because she has to step herself down to anthropomorphize so we can identify, you know, but you can go for the top Deva principle of great mother and ask her to remother you and imprint you with the pattern of perfect divine mothering. What would that be? Divine mothering. That is an important archetype to connect with and feel in your bodies. Divine mothering. Literally, take that in. What is it like to be imprinted and completely raised by a divine mother? The more we adjust our frequency to that, the more we're going to be able to be good workers on the planet, because we will be fortified with true motherhood, true mothering. And they're saying that, you know, my karma, I agreed to lose my mother early on so that I could actually come and give this message about people are getting the invitation to connect with and imprint themselves with divine mothering. And then, of course, divine, whatever you want to call it. In matriarchy, it's divine uncling. The uncle is the social father. We could, in nuclear family, we could say divine fathering. Divine fathering is not patriarchal fathering. So we can connect up with those energies and re-imprint our limbic systems with that energy. And the more we do that, the more we will heal. And the more we heal, the more we will be capable of doing the true work on the planet and also coming into our own divine humanity. So it is important to pay close attention to the divine mother, great mother energy at this time for everyone, every single person to be remothered. It's a total, let yourself feed off of it. You're not too needy. She's never, you know, she's endlessly radiant like the sun, endless energy coming out. So unlike the sun, she never dies. And the sun will die someday, as all suns do, because they are heavenly bodies. And you are a heavenly body. So we are coming into connectivity with our joy through the Fae realm so that we can, we don't want to say withstand the energies, but more tip them completely in the different direction. So there's a positive and the negative to anything. And what's happening is many, many people, you know, myself included, have been going toward the negative in droves because that's what trauma does. And that's, we've been designed to do that and go toward the negative so that the negative side can take over this planet. But what we're being shown to do is to work with the fairies to see the positive in any situation and stretch and expand to allow that in and let that flow into and govern your life. So Marguerite's being shown, well, is it in my divine alignment to go to the East Coast for 5 months? And they're saying, well, do you want to go to the East Coast for 5 months? And it's like, well, I'd like to have a very nice trip to the East Coast where I'm really enjoying the energy of the East Coast and I can open to write and I'm enjoying it and not feeling like I'm in a place that has bad energy or whatever. Okay. I want to be in a place. So they're like, well, why don't you co-create that with the fairies? Instead of asking, is this aligned for you? Is this destined for you? Take it as a choice point. And what are you going to go with? The fear of it all, the wrongness of it all, or the adventure of it all? And so this is the choice point we have with anything that happens in our life. Good, bad, or indifferent. Last night I saw the woman, Carmen, who won the Courage Award this year, or excuse me, the Forgiveness Award. Back 12 years ago, her husband threw lye on her entire face and neck, and it ate away her entire face and neck. She had to have like umpteen surgeries and get a face transplant, literally, from a woman who died. And this woman says she's now pretty much blind and, you know, okay, she's got the two daughters from the marriage. This happened when she was 38 or so. She said, I wouldn't change this because she has done such a depth of spiritual growth from this experience. And so it's really taking everything as a blessing. Everything that happens that seems like it's not in your control, like you've done all you can, and yet still this thing comes in. You can see it as a blessing. So anything, you know, even the negativity flooding through the planet right now, see it as a blessing because people will be able to, it's so intense that people will be able to wake up into fifth dimensional consciousness as a result of dealing with it. It's almost like a game. Now, some people won't, and some people will leave their bodies. And some people will stay in the lower vibrational realm. But some of you are starting to awaken in your daily life. To what it is to be in a different a different dimension. You're here and you're there at the same time. And everything you're doing is training you for this. So you can be here and in that dimension at the same time. So it is important to take the work that you're doing of this training seriously. Allow it. Allow and believe and know. let your cup open. All right, do we have questions? Is this making sense to people?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's very, very, very intense stuff right now. Like, I mean, I am being tested to the max, especially at night, in the wee hours. And the fear energy is starting to flow through me, explode within me, and I'm having to calm myself down. I'm having to work with my fairy ally to retrain my mind to not go there, not go to these particular crazy places that I'm going. Ancient history, my life, like, I mean, really, like this morning, it was so insane. And so my guide was just saying, retrain your mind, get off of that thought. You don't need to be in that thought right now. You don't need to be in that thought right now. You don't need to be in that thought right now. And I kept doing that. And I was able to calm myself. But they're just showing me that the fear energies are going to be ratcheting up so high for people. And it really behooves everybody to go into the calm, clear, centered space, no matter what it is that you're looking at. Like even this, you know, Supreme Court, whatever. If you, this is all a larger play of energies, obviously, of what's happening with and what's getting exposed, right? But if, so some people will need to feel a lot of anger around this in order to motivate them, and that's their path. Some people don't need to go into a lot of anger about this. They need to stay neutral so that they can work it in other ways. So there's different ways that you can respond to this situation and calibrate what's your next highest level as an oracle to how you want to look at this situation. Are you supposed to go into warrior mode around it, or are you supposed to go into neutral reading state and go, huh, let me look at this. Let me look at this from the oracle perspective. Da 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 da. Oh, okay, I see these beings are coming in here. These beings are doing that, right? Looking from the oracle perspective, these things are like great sport for you all if you're going to watch media at all. Look at it always from the oracle perspective and go, wow, what's coming through here? Put up your filters, but look at it. Look at it. Use yourself, let yourself test out what you're feeling. And can you see the illusory nature of what it is or what's behind what's being portrayed, right? What's behind what's being portrayed? Who's pulling those strings? And do you want that? A lot of women need this to get themselves motivated into their own power and to throw off the sex abuse entities on the planet. Some women do not need this to do that. They are handling it in other ways, like spiritual ways, like, hey, let's have a meditation circle to remove these beings. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what's
excuse me, I may help. It's a heck of a lot easier, all right? You don't have to get out there burning your bras, carrying the banners, traveling all that way. you know, you're stuck with bad food at a luncheonette during a protest march. No, it could be a heck of a lot easier. You go, you sit down, 20 minutes, bippity-boppity-boo, you ladies have handled it, and then you could go out and go shopping, have fun with your dog, whatever. That's what we're saying. All right? Think about how you could do this in the most efficient fifth-dimensional way possible instead of taking the long route to everything through the three-dimensional realm. Oh, my God, now we have to be political protesters. No, you just need to do a little magic in the interior realms. Hello. All right, well, that makes sense to me. Now, of course, ethically, ladies, we don't want to get too third chakra around it, because then we're going to just create more karma. Okay, so you all are going to have to just put your power, you got to get your power to work. Always be putting it in, this or better for the greatest good of all, but your prayer work, your intention work, you're like, I don't want to see that. I want to see this. Or I want to see that man all of a sudden have a breakdown and come clean and just say, I don't know what's going on. I have no control of myself. I know this is bad. I don't know what's going on. I'm so ashamed, you know, plus my father abused me or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, visualize the healing. Visualize what would be the healing. A certain chief executive of a country who sends a letter to the entire country going, I just have felt so badly about myself. I've been pushing and pushing and pushing to try to be somebody. And that's what this is all about. And I'm so sad and weighed down with this and heavy. And I'm so sorry that I've led so many people in the wrong direction through my money, through my views, da, da, da. Visualize that. You see what I'm saying? Get very creative and work with the fairies about this. They are here. They're all about imagination. Fiction is the elixir of true manifestation. That's what most people don't. Hello, somebody write it down, okay? Because that's quotable. That is quotable. We want Marguerite quoted with that, whatever she just said. Fiction. All right, who's going to say it? Fiction is what?
The true elixir.
Of manifestation.
Yeah.
All right? You know, in parentheses, in three dimensions. Okay? Because look how they've, like, discredited the fiction. Like, it's nothing at all. And meanwhile, it's the whole engine behind everything that even happens. Okay?
Yeah.
So think about that. Think about what is fiction and what is reality. All right? Fiction is the creative process that creates a reality, which is an illusion anyway. But you guys are having fun down there. We understand. You got bored. You know, you had to have a playground, and here you are, checking it out. Now, some people don't figure out that they're here for a game. They don't. And then they get into games, but they don't realize that their whole life is a game, you know? Like, people who are into football, they're so into it. But if they would wake up to the dream within the dream, they'd realize, oh my God, it's only a game. And then they realize, oh my God, their life is only a game. But now what you have is these luckheads, they think that the game is real, all right? They think that football is so real that they would kill each other for this entire, it's crazy. Now, those people, it's going to take 5 million years for them to wake up, all right? Because they're going to have a lot of lifetimes before they realize that a game within a game is a game. Instead of something real that they need to go down and get drunk about and create almost World War II between who likes the blue team and who likes the red team. My God, It's an illusion within an illusion. So what we're teaching you today, this is the teaching of the illusion within the illusion. How many illusions can you see on the head of a pin? All right, that's what you want to be looking at. The illusion within the illusion within the illusion. 10 points for whoever's going to get that. You know, count it up in one given day.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a reward. Okay, so the illusions within the illusions within the illusions. And then the emotions that go along with it that we are all interested in dealing with as a function of the human body that we've incarnated into. Yeah. Questions. All right. Questions. Ameho, you had started to say something.
Well, what's been coming to me in the past week is sort of a saying from Rumi, something about there isn't really like good and bad, evil and divine, but there is a garden. And then he says, and I will meet you there. So I have been trying to think about not right and wrong, good or bad, but like what would be the garden? Where would we be in the garden? What is the garden? And what is that holy space, you know,
right,
that could be in the garden? So it's like a mystery for me right now, thinking about what the garden is.
All right. Well, the garden is the Garden of Eden. It's planet Earth as it once was, with the Fae intact. And the garden is on many dimensions. You can have inner gardens of your mind. You can have outer gardens. The entire Earth is a garden. It is and was and shall be the Garden of Eden. And it is a place ultimately beyond right or wrong, good or evil. You know, that was in the Garden of Eden in the biblical story. They were already messing it up, you know. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, you see? It created a polarity. And then the tree of life, the tree of immortality. You know, these are very fairy, fae imageries. She things, nature spirit things. The planet was once governed by the she, the nature spirits. They were the living governing forces. The humans are visitors. And now the humans are eating it up. They're eating it alive. They're eating it out of house and home because they're trying to understand how to be part of an ecosystem, how to be meshed into an ecosystem the way the Native American peoples understood that they were part of a mesh. A net and a web. And certain energies, later humans, you know, different experiments came in and were just running rampant, like mutant ninja turtles, for God's sake. Humans are the mutant ninja turtles, okay? Running rampant, certain humans, you know, certain groups of humans. The later ones, the starry, you know, different star systems started coming in and creating problems onto original Pleiadian templates and so forth. So here is a garden. I'll meet you there. The garden where you can turn it into its positive. That's what the Fae do. They take everything as something positive, or they turn it into its positive.
And that's what, so Marguerite's going to be doing this with her trip out. Every single day, she's got a million points where she's been seeing everything so negative, 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 negative. And she's going to have to retrain her mind to see each thing, its positive polarity, and move toward that or expand, be in that energy, expand. You know, so what Susie, the wife of the guy Soren, who was, you know, they were both presenters, she said that she had this experience where her mother said, "Oh, do you like my shirt?" And the mother was wearing this like flowered shirt that Susie initially hated, you know. And then what she did was she expanded. She expanded like the Fae to see the context of the situation and how her mother saw the shirt. And how it was giving her mother happiness and how there were actually some merits to the shirt. And so by the time she answered her mother, she said, "Yes, I like the shirt." And so it's kind of that expanding, expandability that the Fae are teaching us to do.
I have a question.
Yeah, Debbie.
Marguerite, do you have a source of good fairy cards that we could get? You know, I've really enjoyed these dragon cards.
Yeah.
And I thought that'd be really fun, to, you know, because for me, that is being just now being introduced to these. This is really entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. Brian Froud, Froud, his Fairies Oracle deck.
Okay.
Is a highly recommended one. Now, okay. Now, Jeremy Berg created the She deck, SIDHE. And we were working with them the Sunday that I left. And it's a whole kind of, you kind of got to really learn about it because you set up the standing stones and then you pull other cards. And I think it's a powerful deck. I was getting powerful readings off it. I don't know if he's still selling them or to what extent, because they were costing a lot and he wasn't making anything on them. So, but there's that. So, I mean, I would check those two sources. And I think there's
what was Jeremy's last name?
Berg, B-E-R-G. And I think there's more to come regarding these fairy cards, because the Fairies Oracle deck is Brian Froud's slice of the fractal. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
you'll see. And there's so many more aspects of the fractal, and some could have more. Well, his has a lot of female energy. Definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
But to get back to Marielle.
Okay.
The guide Marielle. So she's the one who said that the Virgin Mary was she. And that Guinevere was as well. And so, you know, I mean, I want to be accessing Marielle because she's clearly a feminine being bringing them a lot of feminine information. Men, right? David Spangler and all that. But it's also partly contingent on the asker, the questions and the information you get, right?
Yes.
His proclivities might be more male, but now that we've all met Marielle, we can start having conversations with Marielle and, you know, tap her for the feminine information. Okay?
Okay.
So it's the knowledge is partly dependent on the asker.
Okay.
So those should be a couple of card decks you can look at. Now, generally, Caitlin and John Matthews are considered reputable in this domain as well. So they have bunches of books. Now, they may have cards of some type as well.
Caitlin and Carl?
Okay. Say it again?
Caitlin and Carl?
Caitlin and John.
Oh, John. Okay.
Yeah.
Where did he get Carl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, other questions?
It's beautiful. Everything you're saying, Marguerite, is going right along with the information that I'm receiving and everything that's up for me right now. I really appreciate being included in this tonight. Thank you.
Blessed be. You're so welcome. Yeah, because you're all riding similar waves, you know, many of you, and you're getting a lot of the same information. You are. It's time now, you know, like all of a sudden, the dragons, yeah. 5 years ago, where were they? 10 yeah. years ago, you know?
Yeah.
It was more obscure, smaller groups and people. Now it's like, you know, that family tree net is growing with the people. Yeah.
Yeah. Who beautiful.
Are awake to that dragon belly. So beautiful.
Is it? I just love her. It's like.
So beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm my grandsons, of course, wanted her as soon as they saw her, but I said, not for sharing. But I have her right, you know, where I sit all day and by my computer. And so she's like energetically so visual that she's becoming embedded in me. And
Yeah. That's what a good artist can do. They can bring a being into you through artwork that they create. And, you know, the great artists of all the arts bring forth living beings, living creations. That's why you have to be careful what movies you're making, because look at the majority of what they're making. The imagery that's being brought to this planet is just not for the good.
No.
If
you look at the list of movies that are out there, it's so like dark forces. Yeah, you know,
it's all dark forces energy now.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got to look at everything as a blessing. You know, even yeah. If you look at everything as a blessing, what would it become? How would you see it? Mm-hmm. What would be the blessing in this? That's something you can go around saying all day long. What is the blessing in this? You know, something annoys you or frightens you or brings up grief. What is the blessing in this? And then, so it's not just a matter of seeing blessings everywhere, but then creating what you want, creating the vision that you want with the fairies. So it's time for the fairies. The fairies meet Abraham Hicks, all right? Those people, they have no sense of humor whatsoever. They're making dollars, but my God. So, you know, it's like the fae are coming out with this whole manifest your reality thing, right? And they're like, oh, no, let's get really fun with it. Let's really see the illusion for what it is and think and create wild, outrageous things that are in alignment with the divine. But there's so much you can co-create.
Yeah, using your imagination, right?
Using your imagination when you're on the precipice of making a decision of one direction to go or another, or a creation. Use your imagination. It's so important right now.
So can I mention one more thing, Marguerite, back on these cards, because I'm really like totally enmeshed with these dragon cards. That this one card that I pulled yesterday that I've just been really playing with a lot is the gold and silver violet flame dragon. And it has to do with Archangel Zedkiel, which I'd not worked with, but Saint Germain, which I really have. But did you know that Saint Germain is a great magician and a dragon master?
Oh, really?
I had no idea. I've got a picture of him here. I met him in Mount Shasta, and he gave me some really nice downloads, but that didn't come with. I'm just very excited about using our imaginations and taking this literally, like seeing the fae, seeing the dragons, seeing these allies that we have all around us. And like you said, seeing the illusions, and also just like whatever it is that we're, you know, like what I've walked through with my son's dying. I mean, those that I told about it, the death and the transition of them was just as beautiful as the birth. You see, so it's about shifting your perception.
Yeah.
Really, you could be looking at the same thing and come up with different perceptions of it.
Absolutely. It's about shifting the perception. Yeah. That's part of moving into fifth dimensional reality. Yeah. So that's what the Fae are teaching us in part.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's everything. It's creativity. It's bringing joy and spice and fragrance to your life and play. And it's teaching you opening into fifth dimensional reality, you know, with a spoonful of sugar.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's quite profound. And so of course the idea of the infantilized fairy is a diminishment, you know, it's a way that they kept it alive, though, was what they're showing me by infantilizing the fairies through those 19th century. They were able to put it underground into a children's domain where it could still remain and not be totally snuffed out. So that's what they did with that. And so don't begrudge that the fairies have been infantilized, because in a way that was to protect the message of them even being on the planet. And so now we're able to see, oh, they're not just infantilized, quote unquote, little people, da da da, you know, they're a range of different things. There are brethren and sistren on the other side, and they're mirroring. So we have a lot of play to do. Okay. That's their motto, and that should be your motto moving forward. That's going to be my motto. Write it down. All right, Kat, we saw you were taking notes over there. Write these quotes down, all right? Now, what did she just say? She said, we've got a lot of play to do.
Right.
That's what it's going to be. These are quotable gems. All right, someday you're going to say, oh, my God, I was in the session when Marguerite said that. All right, whatever. Okay. So, you know, you've got a lot of play to do is the banner for the new era. I like that.
Yep.
We've got a lot of play to do. So
what I'm thinking is that, you know, because of the fear of children being kidnapped, parents aren't letting their children outside to play anymore. You never see playing.
Exactly. This is part of the whole plan. Okay. I got in just under the wire in, you know, born in 1962. I could walk to the next town and my parents wouldn't give a crap. And I did, and stole candy from the candy store. You know what I mean? But it's just like, okay, I did occasionally a couple of times. Same. I was a kid, but you know, it has now become, so I learned independence. I learned self-sufficiency. I learned freedom. Okay. So you see how they're doing this layering where these abductions are taking place for criminy's sake. You don't know which kid is going to be hit and which isn't going to be hit. But then it has a double and triple work that it does, okay? It traumatizes everybody. Then it makes everybody stay small and close, and everybody loses their freedom. So kids don't develop freedom, and they're more programmable for the IT jobs. See?
Yeah.
Okay? And then they're gaming on top of it, and it's like, oh, well, at least they're safe. If you knew how unsafe your kid was gaming,
you'd rather, you know, have them go to Harlem. Okay. Yeah. I mean, for God's sake. And, you know, I mean, and that's just to use a misnomer too, because actually in Harlem, they've got soul still happening there. You know what I mean? And of course, Harlem is gentrifying now. It's, you know, so, but what we're saying is you'd rather, you know, you'd rather have your kid go anywhere than be on the computer. And that's what people don't realize. This is how intensely, okay. So let's use the little rubric right here. Okay. What is the blessing in this?
Well, so we can learn from our past mistakes, Marguerite. Isn't this what the other civilizations, isn't this what the fall was about? Was exactly. Technology?
This is what the fall was about, Debbie. And so we are going to have to really be strong in being out with the Fae and keeping three-dimensional biosphere, because they're trying to do away with it and put us all into a cyber reality.
Right.
Create dead matter on the planet and put us into cyber. Okay, that's a vision. What is the blessing in that? Okay, seeing that that could happen, humanity chose another way.
Yeah.
That's the novel that I'm writing. Seeing that could happen, ... humanity chose another way.
Right.
Okay. So every time you see the negative, see the positive. Every time you see the positive, see, of course, more positive. Positive wants you to just create more positive, right? So, right. And they're saying that's how you get out of duality. You just keep creating more and more. Like every time you flip it, every single time you keep flipping it. And that's like the black and the white of the checkerboard. Yeah. Which is what police cars do. And then they inculcate people with fear of black and white. Police cars have it right there. Black and white. Sometimes. So, okay, other questions? Because otherwise I'm going to let you guys go, you ladies.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Nice. This was a good...
I feel very good.
Yeah, taking it in. I feel like there's also a cyclical aspect of the garden, and that... And there's not so, for me anyway, it's not so much one fall as much as the reacquaintance, the reconnection, the remembering of ourselves as part of divinity. And when we're in the middle of, I think originally, or the first image of being in the garden with everything, and perhaps not realizing the consciousness that involved. And so I think that losing that, or going into having the tree of knowledge, which is the knowledge that we're divine, is a form of consciousness and imagining also. And so when we cease to have that consciousness, we go into it and have to, you know, recover that consciousness again, much as the same as a mortal garden, or as an earthly garden will go through its seasons of death and rebirth.
Oh, and I'm getting, that's why they call Jesus the gardener.
Wow. Yeah.
It wasn't accidental. He was a fae. And she saw him as that in the garden. The gardener. So Magdalene, that is, you know.
So, okay, it's all coming together now. This whole thing in the garden, the most beyond rumor. Joni Mitchell said it best.
Yeah.
And we've got to get ourselves back to the garden.
Wow. I think there's something about the word garden that is so deep.
Yes.
That it's worth meditating on.
It is. We should look at the origins of the word.
Yeah.
I think it's probably Germanic, which is really interesting. And yeah. There, the garden is the fae.
Yeah. And you know, when I find something like this, like garden, it really says it's part of the great mystery and it's not knowable, but you can know it. You yeah. know, like that whole.
Exactly. And that's the basis of all mystery teachings.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why we're a mystery school over here.
Yeah.
You know, and.
That's why symbol is so important too, because there's so much that's captured or suggested in a symbol that's lost in the translation of words.
Yes.
And we can vibrate with we can connect with the image and imagination and vibration of symbols.
That's right.
Connect us to the high.
That absolutely. Moves. There's so much coding in symbols.
Yeah.
And that's why you also want to be careful, because the advertising symbols that are on the big corporates, that's been occultly designed, okay, to gather people's attention and imprint itself like a branding literal in people's mind, in people, your brain. You have a brand for every brand you've ever seen, okay? So you want to start putting the brand of the Vesica Piscis, right? You want to start putting the brand of the Sri Yantra. You want to put the brand of the triangle down, you know, downward facing triangle and all the glyphs of the ancient carvings and the indigenous people. That's what you want to start imprinting yourselves with. Going to some of the ancient Australian cave art, you know, rock art, right? Okay, so start imprinting yourself, like meditate in front of, that's why people meditate in front of mandalas and things like that, because it's encoding them with different information. Many, many indigenous symbols, the art on textiles, sit in front of that, because that's all encoded ancient information that the women by now long have forgotten what it is. But it's in the embroideries. It's in the textiles. Women have kept these symbols alive in the ancient art, in the pottery. That's where it is. It's all hidden. And Maria Gimbutas was right onto it. And Ameho, you know, that's your work as an artist, which you've been doing for quite some time, and you could even do it more intensively now, having the esoteric information. So it may be that part of your oracle work is to imprint and encode your physical art with codings that people will get by looking. But another woman last year, Lisa Schenkelberg, was doing the same, these sculptures that were basically encoded symbols, you know, with information for people. And the more fractal-like, you know, that's getting into the fae realm, right? That's where circle and square meet is the fractal. You know, where circle and triangle meet is the spiral, right? So it's those two marrying together, the masculine and the feminine, the platonic solids and the rounded figures, and those create the world. The circle and the triangle you know, or the most holy. The triangle is the entryway to Mother Divine. So that's part of what you may find that you're doing, the visuals among you. Kat, anything you'd like to say or ask?
I'm just taking it on. There's a lot of great things that you said that I've like put on sticky notes, and I'm like sticking them to remind myself of this. I've actually been sick for the last couple of days, and last night there was some hell trouble with dark energies coming in or trying to come in to my house and to our place, and that took a lot of energy from me to like look at the positive, not be in fear with it.
Right.
Scaring my animals, it was scaring my partner.
Yeah.
Really, really dark, icky. I'm pretty sure I know which meter that it's coming from, so I'm not sure what's going on there. So I had to do a lot of like body of glass and light around the house. So yeah. Maybe just a little more quiet and just kind of taking in as I'm like healing from it. But, and the fairies, I have six beautiful trees, three in the back and three in the front. And I've been trying to make sure they are like kind of protectors too.
Yeah. Have the dragons circulate around your property in a circular fashion, a constant circular fashion.
Okay.
And put the gold light there. Also, just put cloaking. Just ask for your house to be cloaked.
Okay.
So that you won't draw anything, you know, as you open it, or opening your portal and all that.
Yeah.
There's something for you.
And I think I'm feeling more settled and maybe not. I don't want to live in needing to feel like I need to protect or put up wards.
Exactly. I was just going to say, let the dragons do it.
Okay.
Just set them on, not autopilot, but, you know, like, it's kind of funny. Just let them circulate.
Go to AC Moore and get a dragon.
Say, Amiel.
I said, go to AC Moore and get a dragon.
We don't need to get one.
AC Moore has said people are into dragons and we're starting to buy a whole lot more of them. So I think it's so cool that, you know,
AC Moore is
tuning into the dragons.
On a mass scale. It's happened suddenly.
Yeah.
That's okay. You noticing? Keep your Oracle antennae open.
Yeah.
You know, notice this stuff. This is your, you want to notice the trends from the Oracle perspective. Just keep that going, ladies. Well, to you all. So yes, Kat, many blessings to you, and of protection. Happy birthday, Ameho.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for being such a wise, loving, grounding elder in our group. Oh, one thing they said was honoring is such a wonderful, lovely thing to do for each other. It's a lost art. And but anytime we can find ways to verbally honor the other or honor others in front of others or whatever, it's such a wonderful thing. And it, for girls, it's the counterparts of the backbiting that goes on. All right, the gossip and whatnot, you got to balance it out. All right, so like honor the deva, the god of honor. And like I was saying, Dorothy McLean realized, oh my god, I think she even said this in the film I saw of her, the ancient Greeks knew that these things are beings. They're devas, you know, they're angelics or whatever we would call them, sometimes positive, sometimes not so nice feeling, but honor is a wonderful one. Okay. So joy, the fairies are great friends of joy. They're great friends of whimsy, fun, at times harmony. And yeah, call on those fairies around your house. Make it funny, Kat. The neighborhood energies won't even want to come. They'll be like, whatever, you know? Right? When things are laughing, it casts away demons.
Yes.
Let the fae be laughing around your property, because what they're interested in is they're interested in your little underworld portal. They're like, oh, who's in there? Okay. Oh, who's that holy woman looking here and looking there? You're creating portals and this and that, and they're getting all curious. So do deflection with the fairies and play it up with like the infantilized fairies, because then, okay, it's totally non-threatening. So you can get one of those things that, you know, Ace Hardware or whatever, like a fairy and a gnome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just get a big thing, you know, one of each or whatever, a mushroom, and put it in there. Look like a total quack, and it'll make those energies go away. They won't even come back anymore. So there's something to be said for being the wacky 80-year-old who wears, you know, purple and lavender and flowery hats. She looks a little batty because it deflects the energies. They're like, oh, she's inconsequential. So in some senses, that was the protection of those women, to look batty, unappealing in some way, or kind of nutty and weird is the word, literally the weird word. It's comes from Max Dashu does a whole etymology on weird, the weird sisters. I mean, it's such a revelation. So yeah, looking a little batty just throws people off and directs their energy elsewhere.
It takes power to do that too. There's power in being the batty person who seems innocuous, but you're actually, that takes power to walk out in the world with that kind of distinction.
Yeah, because you know what, Angela, you were the master at it. In your lives, I see at least three lives where you were just that.
Well, I definitely have my batty days.
In this life, you were more like, oh, I've got to kind of tone that. I want to have some middle ground here, you know. And so you're more of a braid, you're more of a weave, but you have that down in those lives, all right.
Well, it's funny you say that, because you're right. In this life, I have tried to I've tried to fit in, knowing that I don't quite, but there's a deep undercurrent of me which is actually very resistant to that, even as I'm trying to do it. And I feel the older I get, that weave is going to break off, and I'm going to, you know, the batty me in the purple hat will be all everywhere.
Well, you know, it'll be all right though, because you'll be grounded, and you won't be an outcast, because you'll have too many women in your company.
All right.
Yeah, it'll be different. It'll be different this time when and if that happens. Yeah.
It feels different.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a grace, you know, to what you're doing, and the intellect, and, you know, you've got a lot of things in the weave. So kudos to you.
Ah, to us all. I think we are all weaves, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we really are. We really are. And you know, Debbie, you're just carrying such wisdom there, and the experiences that you have chosen to go through in this lifetime. Wow. And ongoing.
I know. Talk about grace.
Yeah. Like you're really, you're really carrying a lot there. I can see, tell, and feel. And this is just another beginning for you, you know, on this path of like really opening this, claiming and exploring it for yourself. So you go, woman.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Kat, you know, you're the power woman on the street now. Okay. And that's why they're checking it out. Because they're like, oh, is this girl? Who does she think she is? I'm saying on the spirit level.
Yeah.
Okay, they're like, who are her ancestors? She just brought a whole parcel of ancestors in here and they're all sniffing you. Right? Because you haven't been in that house very long now. Right? They're sniffing you. Okay, but let me just tell you, that Amaraya Dream Seeds, the covenant image was shipped to you today. Okay, Shannon went and shipped it. And
oh,
so
wonderful.
That will be
cool. Yay. That,
let me just tell you, that is definitely going to be a portal in your house, okay? Because it was a portal here. Wow. Now, with all portals, you have to put a guardian around it. Put a dragon guardian there.
Okay.
Oh, and incidentally, they told me you want to put guardians at each of your chakras, not just your crown, but you can replicate whoever's at your crown, but just put them on all of the major ones. And then there's all these bunches of others on the body. So you can put them all over. But I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. They're like, what made you think you just needed protection at the crown, Missy? I was like, oh my God, what? You know, I mean, we learn.
Yes.
We learn. So just put your guides or your guardian beings around each chakra. That will help you a lot. Filters. All right, sisters.
Thank you, Marguerite.
Many, many blessings. So those of you who are in the wee hours, my God.
Yes, this... Angela. Yeah.
Angela.
It's morning.
6 in the morning now for her.
Yeah.
And Ameho, late over there on the East Coast. So.
Yeah.
All right. And greetings to everybody who will be looking in replay. Okay. Much love to you.
Love you.
Okay. Ameho, I owe you an email. I'll follow up with you shortly. I was away at the weekend, but I will follow up with Ameho.
Okay, wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And so much love. Thank you. Thank you, Marguerite, for sharing this time and all your wisdom and your journey with us right now.
Oh, you're welcome. Blessed be. It's just, it really is my total joy in this life to do this.
It's a blessing and courage, too.
Yes.
What's that?
It's a blessing and it takes courage, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it really does. It does.
Really inspiring and really an honor for you to embrace us, open up your arms to us right now.
Yeah. No, I trust you. I trust this group.
Yeah. I think we need community so much now to support each other because so much is happening.
So much. Yeah. Stay steady in your reading state when you look at it all. Let it be interesting. Read it. Find out. See the big and the small of it, the layers of it. How many layers of reality can you go down? All right?
All right.
Okay, women.
Okay, love you.
Love you.
Okay, love you. Bye. Happy birthday, Amiho. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Bye.
Best birthday ever.
Oh, good. Bye.
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 Party.